And so why don't we do this again, kind of encourage our hearts again from the Word of God and praise God that in times when we oftentimes we know nothing, but praise God, He is sovereign. Praise God, He is gracious. And so let us be encouraged by the Word of God. Let's go with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 65, and a title of tonight's message, Before You Call, I Will Answer. And this is the God that we serve, and this is the God that saves us. And so praise God for His goodness to us. Before you call, I will answer. Isaiah 65. And now let's go to the second last verse of the chapter, verse 24. Isaiah 65, verse 24. We'll start there. Again, an encouragement to God's people. This, of course, the context is speaking to the remnant of Israel. It's speaking about the millennial reign of Christ, the thousand-year reign of Christ here on planet Earth. When He would restore Israel, and then even after that, kind of going into the new Jerusalem, the new earth, the new heaven. That's a wonderful, wonderful chapter, a promise to God's people. However, the blessing to us Gentiles is this is how God has always been. Okay, God is not revealing a new sight to Him. This is how He has always been to His faithful, to His children, to His beloved. So I would really like to encourage us tonight from the Word of God. Again, this is prophecy, Isaiah specifically to the faithful remnant leading up to the millennial reign of Christ. But as far as with God's unchanging character applies to our God even today, same God, amen. So let's go to verse 24, and the Word of God says, And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Abba, Father. What a blessing to be in thy house even tonight, thy house of prayer of all nations. And so, Father, help us always to be faithful to your word, to be thankful that we can always pray to you at our heart's desire. What a comfort, Father, to know that you hear us and that prayer is your plan, prayer is your purpose, prayer is your idea. And so, Father, we are just so thankful for you and who you are. We love you, Lord. Bless now the time, the preaching and proclaiming of your word. Anoint these lips of clay that I would speak, Father, what you would have me to say, that we would be encouraged from heaven on high. And we love you, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to give God the glory, kind of just start off here and kind of share it with some of you folks already. But thank you for praying for my daughters. They didn't make it safely to Malaysia. I just praise God for that. Certainly an answer to prayer. I was looking at the flight path, and of course, from London, they flew to Malaysia, and so they did fly straight southeast, you know, and over some of the areas I'm not particularly fond of in the Middle East there, but just praise God that they made it safe. To God be the glory. We dropped them off on Monday, and then on Monday was also when, while we were en route to Chicago, that my father-in-law got a heart attack, and so I just want to share this testimony because from what they found out. Now, he's doing okay, but from what we found out, how things were orchestrated, truly a testimony to God and His grace and to the unsaved medical community that's working with my father-in-law. I pray that this would continue to be a testimony of God's sovereignty and God's mercy. I'm doing this as best as I can recollect it, hon, so hopefully I'm not missaying anything. But from what they had shared to my father-in-law is that it's a miracle that he's alive. And so we know that. And so I praise God for that. Now, he had his heart attack while he was outside his apartment. In fact, he had, I forget if he was getting his medicine or had just got his medicine. I forget which happened in what order. Yes, and that was when he was reaching into his Jeep. That was when he had his heart attack. And from what he had shared with us, he started feeling lightheaded, you know, tired. And so I think he said, well, I'll just lay down a little bit here. And then he kind of just passed out into his car. I forget front seat or back seat where he was. But he had his heart attack when he was reaching into his Jeep. And that's when it happened, and he fell unconscious. And thankfully, he was out in the front row there of his apartment, so people could see him, they could call 911, and so praise God for that. He wasn't just in his apartment by himself, and no one would have noticed that happened, and so we just thank the Lord how that played out. And then when the paramedics came, later on they had shared with us that because my father-in-law, he was so cold, downtown Chippewa, he had he was in hypothermia. But the hypothermia actually prolonged his dying and had slowed down his body's system. And so they were able to reshock him, and so he's okay. It's one of those things where when they had shared with us, is that a lot of the EMTs had said they had found other people with this V-fib. And when they find him, when they find those folks like that, it's typically done, you're a goner. And so we just praise God for that. All this didn't happen by accident, it happened by chance. Not by chance, it happened by the grace of God. Even with my father-in-law getting sick, you know, that was what prompted the whole thing. The doctor had said he would have gotten a heart attack no matter what because of his shrinking valve, aortic valve. But because he happened to be sick at the time was what prompted him to leave his apartment to get the medication. And it happened out in where people could call 911. I share this just to praise God for his goodness, for his sovereignty, that God is in absolute control. I think even of dear brother, we've been praying for him with his, he just got out of the hospital. He's doing a lot better. I just praise God for Brother Wayne, how God has healed him up as well. In fact, if you think back years back, even to Sister Sharon, with a Guillain-Barre syndrome, remember that one? We were praying and just praised God how he had delivered her from that as well. This is the same God that we serve. This is the same God that we pray to. And God is just so faithful to us. And I just want to encourage us from the scriptures tonight. If you go back with me to verse 21, God is so benevolent to you and I as his children. This I understand this is Israel, okay, but as far as spiritual, his children, that's who we are. Let's look at verse 21. The Word of God says, "And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them." This is the same God that loves you and I. This is the same God that watches over you and I. I want us to understand, as we get to verse 24, number one, prayer and our relationship with God is his idea. Prayer is God's idea, okay? We don't have to try to get God's attention like he's a king coming down a the street on a float, and I'm one of the peasants in the side saying, "King, I have a petition, I have a petition." I don't have to do that. God is not like a celebrity surrounded by thousands of fans, and I'm one in the crowd, and he may or may not notice me, probably not. God is not like a doctor in an overcrowded office, hundreds of patients ahead of me waiting to be seen. God is not like that. We don't need to get God's attention through prayer in the sense that God, it's God's idea and God, it's God's desire for us to pray. He wants us to pray. Prayer is not just God's alternative to you and I saying, "Hey, when something bad hits, when you are in a time of, when you're in a jam, try this." You know, flips me a card that says, "Pray." No, that is not a backup. Prayer is God's desire, it's God's creation, it's God's plan, it's God's design for you and I, first and foremost. That is a wonderful thing. Scripture tells us, don't have to turn it out, I'll just read some of the verses here to encourage us. Jeremiah 33:3, we know this, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Psalm 50, verse 15, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me." Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Prayer is God's idea, is God's purpose, is God's plan. We just need to be obedient and pray. Excuse me. But prayer is God's design. It's his hope. It's his will for you and I. God is the one that orchestrates our circumstances. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. I want us to kind of observe this again. It certainly applies to the world as it is, you know, shared here by the Apostle Paul. But it goes all the way right down to the individual level. So not just at a country level, at a national level, but even to individuals. God is the one who orchestrates our circumstances from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Job, to my father-in-law, to you, to me. Let's go to Acts 17, and then verse 22. And this, of course, is the Apostle Paul, he's preaching here, but certainly the truth applies to all of us today. And this is what he says. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." So this is the God that they don't know that he's going to declare to them. And so he explains who God is in verse 24. The true God, our God, amen, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Our God is sovereign, amen. Our God is almighty, is all-powerful. God is so awesome that we are unworthy of even worshiping him. God is so huge and so amazing that he cannot be contained in man-made temples. Right now, that's the idea. He allows it by his grace, but certainly God can't be contained, not even in Solomon's temple. Verse 25, neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. God is supreme. You and I are less than nothing. There's nothing that we can give God that he needs. And that, hence, is the wonderful joy of prayer. Because in verse 27, verse 26 and verse 27, I'll read that first. He says in verse 26, "And have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Again, this certainly applies at a national level. Okay, you want to look at the countries on the map. Okay, this is how God knew it was going to happen this way. But even right down to an individual life, the life that you live, the life that I live, the life of my father-in-law, the life of the Apostle Paul, everything God knows and has been orchestrated by him, and he knows, okay, I'm going to do this. God knew that I would raise my family here in America. God knew that this is where I would grow up, this is where I would serve, this is where I would settle down. God knew and God appointed it. Where you are and how you are, God made you, God designed you, God called you, God saved you, God led you. Everything that God has in your life, in my life, he has planned and he has orchestrated. God is so amazing that when it comes to what I can give him back in return, I can give nothing. I can give nothing. I can do nothing. Except verse 27. This is all that we can do, that they should seek the Lord. That's all that we can do, is to praise him, is to seek after him, is to call after him, hence the prayer time. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. That's amazing. An all-supreme sovereign God who makes us, and we are less than nothing. Yet by his love, he condescends to you and I. And this is a mind-blowing truth that not just Paul is telling them, but this is God telling us. That before we were even called, he knows what our desires are. Before we would even plead to God for help, he knows what my heartache is. Before you would even come to God and think about prayer, God had designed prayer for you to come to him, but he knows what your prayer needs are. Nahum 1:3 tells us the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Number three, God knows our desires even before we do, all right? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, and again, going back to more of a Sermon on the Mount, you're more familiar with us. Passage, Matthew chapter 6. And notice what the Lord says here, Matthew chapter 6, and then verse 8. Scripture reminds us, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." And then verse 32, same passage, verse 32, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Verse 34, because of who God is and because of how he loves you and I, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I couldn't even pray for things that I don't even know is going to happen. God knows they're going to happen. And the reminder is God already knows, even though I don't know. God is always more ready to hear than we are ready to pray. God knows the end before we even know the beginning. I think even of this church, this ministry, my life here as the preacher, you know, this building was on the market to be sold, I don't know, 2 or 3 years before we were even looking to buy a property when we were back in Abbey Bank. I didn't know it. God did. And every year that this building just sat on, you know, with no offers, the prices kept getting down, 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 down. God was orchestrating that in the background until we were ready in Western Baptist Church to look at buildings and like, hey, how about this building? Hey, it's been on the market for 3 years. Look at the price. No one wants it. We'll take it. And God gave it to us. Praise God. I mean, in every single instance of my life, even those that I didn't see coming, God did. And if I can encourage us tonight as we go to the Lord in prayer in a little bit here, this is the Lord that answers prayer before we even ask. He orchestrates events in our life so that we can, in the end of the day, just glorify God. I appreciate your prayers for my family, for my father-in-law, for my daughters. God gets all the glory. I just praise the Lord for your faithfulness. But my friends, above all, he is faithful. Praise God. Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. Again, Father, just a short devotion just to remind ourselves, Lord, from your word, just who you are. And Father, you're just so amazing. All I can just is praise you, praise you, praise you, that before anything happens, of even tomorrow, who knows what happens is going to happen tomorrow. You know what's going to happen. And so, Father, you already know. And so, Father, we just want to just praise you. We want to thank you. We love you, Father. Help us, Lord, to always be found faithful. And we pray that your will be done, Lord, that we can just trust fall into your blessed will. And we love you, Father. Bless the prayer time now of thy saints. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.